I wrote it intended for people who want to make peace with their past, people who want to release future worry, anxiety, and be able to like really fully live in the power and the pleasure of their present moments. You know, it's really about helping to set people free through these different subconscious secrets and being able to cultivate the life that we're really dreaming about, to realize we're capable of it, to realize that we're enough, that we already have everything in us that's necessary to fulfill that. And, you know, really specifically, I'm speaking to women like me, entrepreneurial ADHD moms of the world.
Welcome to the Secrets of Supermom show, where we explore how successful, busy moms battle overwhelm, beat burnout, and stay happy in the process. I'm your host, Lori Oberbreckling, wife, mom of four, corporate executive, photographer, and author of the book Secrets of Supermom, how extraordinary moms succeed at work and home, and how you can too. Hey, hey, friend, welcome to episode number 170 of the Secrets of Supermom show. Have you joined us in the Supermom Society? The Supermom Society is our private community for busy moms that want to do more in less time. Get strategies, community, clarity, and all the support you need to be a positive present mom and a productive human in whatever life brings to the table. Each month, you'll walk away with a plan for your next month and even your next quarter and your next year, new time management and parenting skills, and all your questions answered from a group of moms who are ready to beat burnout and stay happy in the process. I can't wait to show you what it's like to have more time, less stress, and a community to hold you up. Head to thesupermomsociety.com for all the details. Teresa Lear Levine joins us today to share all about her newest book, Becoming More Me. Do you wish that you could release your past and really just live in the present? Do you feel like emotions are sort of trapped inside you? Do you wish you could move past anxiety or maybe a challenging life transitions? This episode is so for you. As an EFT master practitioner and hypnotherapist, Teresa implements a unique and integrative approach to nervous system regulation, subconscious mind work, law of attraction, and energy strategy. She's the founder of Becoming More Me, the host of Becoming More Me podcast, and she lives near Washington, D.C. with her husband, four boys, and two yellow labs. I am super excited to reintroduce you to Teresa. Hey, hey, friends, welcome to the show. I'm so excited Teresa is back with us. Teresa, welcome.
Hey, Lori, good to see you again.
Yes, always good to get to chat again. We've had the opportunity to talk a number of times, which has been super fun. But if anybody maybe is new to you or just a new listener, they haven't heard you before, I would love for you to tell us a little bit about you and your family.
Sure. I live in Maryland, not too far from Washington, D.C. and Baltimore, which most people are familiar with. And I am a married mom of four boys. My boys at time of recording are, I've got a first grader, he's seven. I have a fourth grader who's 10. I have an eighth grader, 13. And I have a freshman in college, 18. So they're all spread out, you know, all different stages of development. And it's a lot of fun and it's always crazy around here. And I work mainly with professional and entrepreneurial women on creating the success that they want in their life. You know, thinking of, you know, success being that, you know, progressive realization of a worthy ideal, you know, and that can be all sorts of things for us, right? So it's that work-life balance, which is really elusive and kind of mythical, honestly, but, you know, working with women on the stuff that's under the surface, you know, the paradigms, those subconscious beliefs, the things that, you know, and this is why I love talking with you, because I know you work with a lot of like kind of the tactical stuff, the planning, the organization, all of that kind of stuff. And I work with what happens when somebody sits down with a planner and they just freeze, you know, like the underlying things under that, the things that really drive us and make it difficult to change when we want to change if we don't deal with them.
Yeah. Yeah. All those things that get in the way, even though in your brain, you're thinking you want to do this, but
you can want it all day long.
Yes, absolutely. So the last time you were here, we talked about tapping, but I asked you to come back because I'm going to dive right in. You have a brand new book. And in the book, you specifically say that you are like the least likely person to be writing a book. So I wanted to start with this because What does this journey look like? So I wrote a book, right? And but I had kind of always wanted to write a book. But you specifically are like, no, I was like the least likely person that would be doing this. So tell me how this all came about. Tell me about this journey.
Sure. And I always have wanted to write a book. You know, I even talk about in my book how I had my own library growing up. Like my
Yes.
friends would come over and instead of like play dates, like doing Barbies and stuff like that, we wrote books. I even created a card catalog. Like it was like, I still have it. I'm going to start like putting some stuff out on social media about my old library. It's crazy funny. But I always enjoyed writing, but my process being an ADHD brain. And also, I mean, I wrote this book, the majority of it, over summer vacation last year with four kids at home and, you know, also serving a full load of clients and everything else. Like, it was organized chaos, is what it looked like, honestly. You know, and I started the book with the first chapter. Chapter one after the introduction is called No Such Thing as Ready. So I Begin, which is also the same title name of my very first podcast episode. And I did that on purpose because it was the same sort of thing. Like when I started my podcast, gosh, almost 3 years ago now, it was like ripping a Band-Aid off. I had bought this very microphone that I'm talking into you right now, and it sat in my office just staring at me for like a year before I leveled up to figure out the tech and just the know-how of like, gosh, what do I need to do to actually make this happen? And then once I actually put the processes that I talk about in my book into place, it was like a couple of weeks and my podcast was out. Like it was no big thing, but that's kind of what writing the book looked like. And I go into that in the chapter, like the morning that I actually sit down to write the first, you know, words and kind of really start the flow. I found 100 different things to do before I actually wrote a sentence. You
Yeah.
know, I made my dirty chai from scratch. I made the almond milk from scratch. I instead of doing one workout, I did two. You know, I had to shop for some things on Amazon first. I open up my computer to start writing, but no, I don't start writing then. I check my email. I scroll my social media. I post something. And then finally, like 45 minutes before my time was going to be up and my family was going to have lunch together, it was a Saturday morning, I got to writing. But the cool thing was is that the awareness that I've been able to develop through, you know, using EFT tapping, through hypnosis, through all this work, had me realize that it really wasn't a loss. It wasn't, you know, it was a great morning. And I didn't do what I would have done previously from a place of high functioning anxiety and criticize myself. I was like, cool, I got all this extra stuff done, and I wrote a couple chapters in my book. And I wasn't so hard on myself for not spending 6 hours writing and only spending 45 minutes writing.
That's it. I love that reframe because I do that a lot, right? I have a lot of productive procrastination tendencies, right? And so I used to be like, well, you were doing all these other things to not do the thing, instead of flipping it and going, look how awesome you were to do all those other things. It was, just because the purpose was to stay away from the one thing, you still did all the other things, and at least those are off your list. Absolutely.
Yes, but I'll also say I could feel that morning the avoidance. I could feel the fear. I could feel the self-doubt. I could feel all of those things that previously I would also have just numbed. And that makes a huge difference. Like, main part of my mission is bringing consciousness and awareness to things because that is where we really get to shift things. And I was very aware of what I was doing. It was kind of like I was like hovering over myself as I was doing it, watching myself do it, and like kind of just narrating along the way.
Yes, I love that. Because you knew, so it was different than maybe previous, where maybe you wouldn't have even been aware that you were doing it. And then maybe even if you realized it later, you would have beat yourself up. You would have told yourself that maybe that you were never going to do this. See, you couldn't write a book. See, I told you were never going to write a book. See, I told you this was never going to happen for you. And we can get into those stories, right? And I know you talk about in the book giving meaning to circumstance. So in this circumstance, right, you were putting it off and you could have given that a meaning that said, you will never be an author. See, I told you so. See, right? Or you could give it the meaning that you did, which was, I really procrastinated that. I watched myself do it. Cool that I got some stuff done and I actually finally got started and I was able to get there. And so the meaning is so different. So I want you to kind of dive into this a little bit deeper for me because I do think this resonates a lot. I think we give meaning, I give meaning, I think the women that listen give meaning to things that we could probably reframe and life would be different.
Absolutely. And that's why I really love working with the subconscious mind, Because, for example, like I'm a huge fan of personal development. I'm a personal development junkie. But I would learn things and then not be able to integrate them, not be able to actually take action on them, and be able to actually replicate whatever it was I was learning or getting excited about. And with tools that increase your awareness, that increase your consciousness, it's kind of like when you like try to cut through butter with a cold knife versus a hot one. You know, there's way less resistance with the latter one. And while I still encounter plenty of resistance in my life, and I always will, I think we always are going to have things that we come up against with resistance. Awareness and tools allow me to warm that knife up in a moment's notice and make it easier at that, like in the present moment, so that I can, you know, get myself through those sticking points. And that is kind of in that time and space is where you kind of rewrite those narratives. Also, you know, you raise and elevate the consciousness. You can really see what's going on, the truth of what's going on, not just the story or the programming that you got as a child or even a young adult. You know, our subconscious mind takes things in as the truth. It's totally immoral. It doesn't care what's bad or good
No.
or anything else. It just absorbs like a sponge, especially in our younger years. So it's kind of like recording on, well, I'll date myself and say a tape recorder. And you know, it's just taking everything, just recording it all. And but then that's what we're living by without realizing it when we don't bring consciousness and awareness into it. So yeah, that's kind of how I look at rewriting narratives and everything else. Raise the consciousness, raise the awareness, and then really see what's going on. And you know, it can be both ways. But which way do you want to choose? Which way actually takes you closer to your version of success, your version of realizing those worthy ideals that you're working towards, whatever they might be?
Yeah, I always think this is so fascinating that it is about the story you're telling yourself right now, but also about the story you might have been telling yourself for years and years and years in different ways about different things, right? Different circumstances, but kind of that same story. And you're saying that once you become conscious of the story, then you get to decide which way it goes, where it takes you on the path that you want to be, to, I mean, be successful, live your best life, to feel like the person that you want to feel like. And I think a lot of us feel out of control in this area, right? Like these things are happening to us. And it sounds more like you're saying, no, we get to decide.
I mean, everything can be reframed as happening for us, of course. I think this is also why, at least in my work, inner child work is so important. And I talk about this in my book that it's not just like those really younger years. There's the inner teen work and the inner young adult work and the inner me from last week work and all of that kind of stuff. You know, it's there's every past version of ourselves has something that it is still probably trying to tell us. And it's in finding the awareness around that too and revisiting that that you really do get a lot of clarity. And I mean, it might be a little bit like woo here, but like if we're thinking like in terms of like astral projection and things, like we are all of these people in all of these different times. And, you know, I have had experiences in meditation where I can kind of like go back to these places and I can almost catch myself coming back as an older version of myself into that and seeing those different layers and versions of myself in the same place and time. Like, it's like everything's happening all at once is really what it all comes down to. So if we can, you know, if we can upgrade that inner younger version of ourselves into our present day life, then all is well.
I love that. Teresa, I want to ask you, I know we talked last time about tapping. So those of you that have that heard the previous episode, we talked about tapping, but for those that are just listening and maybe don't know what we're talking about, right? Like, what is that? Will you tell me just briefly what it is? But then I want to kind of dig into how the book relates.
Sure. So, and definitely, if you guys haven't listened to that previous episode, we go into depth
So
and
good.
there's even a tapping round that we did together that's amazing for like I think we worked on mom guilt and stuff that's still very relevant
That's
now.
right. Oh my goodness, please.
So definitely revisit that. But EFT tapping is one of the methods and modalities I talk about a lot, and it's a form of nervous system regulation. So when we are dysregulated, that no fight, flight, freeze, flee, fawn, all of those things kind of run the show for us. And when we can regulate, then we get a lot more like logical and rational around things, and we can really shift things a lot faster. So tapping literally involves tapping with your fingertips on these essentially 9 different main points on our body and talking about the issue or the challenge while you're doing it. And as you do that, you send signals right to the amygdala, right to the place in your brain that controls the fight or flight, and you get to calm that. You're lowering your stress hormones and you're starting to get a different perspective on whatever it is that you're talking about. Mm-hmm. So this works not just for, you know, like limiting beliefs and fears and phobias. It works for past traumas. It works for future pacing and anxiety. It works for challenges you're having in the present moment. And it works for things that are both physical, emotional, spiritual, and mental. So everything, if you're feeling it and it's an issue, you can use this technique to improve upon it. It's amazing. Like we can even, you know, down to like the way our DNA expresses itself with, you know, epigenetics and things these days, we can actually change the way our genes express for periods of time. And there's a lot of studies being done on this now, still developing, but just fascinating the way that we can change things down to a genetic level.
Yeah, it's so fascinating. And it was always so interesting to me. I had heard it used for trauma, right? But I loved how you talked about that. No, we can use this for current emotional issues, right? Like we did, like you said, we did mom guilt. And mm-hmm. I would have never thought, oh, I can use this for mom guilt, or, oh, yeah. I can use this for grief, or, oh, I can use this for like being sad about something right now, right? Or being, yeah. you know,
or a headache or a backache.
Yeah.
Or some weird money belief you took on when you were 5 years old, or, you know, whatever, that thing that you're worried about. I was tapping like crazy. My oldest son had knee surgery a couple of weeks ago. And, you know, you get a little bit anxious, even though you know everything's going to be okay. Like I'm very grounded and clear that everything was going to be just fine. And yet still I needed to regulate my nervous system because, you know, my brain had a different story going on that was not in alignment with what was really happening. So very helpful.
Yes. I like how you said that your brain had a different story going on, right? You felt like in your mind, you knew that it was going to be fine, that this is a normal surgery, right? Lots of people do this. And all of those things came out at the conscious level, but the subconscious started with a different story and probably a story of fear, panic, worry, yeah. right? All the things for our children, which we always, right? We can't help but do that sometimes, but right. you used EFT tapping in order to calm yourself.
Feel better. You know, just give myself some comfort and some acknowledgement of the things I was feeling instead of being like, no, I'm good. Everything's going to be okay. It's like, you know what? I'm actually feeling a little scared, a little worried, a little, you know, and once I expressed that, the thing is like our feelings want to move and mm-hmm. we're so accustomed to pushing them down or stuffing them or not expressing them or acting like all is well when it's not. And that's when things stagnate and get stuck. So something like EFT tapping or hypnotherapy allows those feelings to do what they're naturally intended to do, which is to come up and out. Mm-hmm. And then we feel so much better. You know, I was able to be a lot more rational and, you know, attract more of what I wanted to me, you know, because with law of attraction, it's like what we focus on, we create more of. And I don't want to yeah. create more stress, more anxiety. Worry, I think, is honestly so very useless, such a waste of our time and energy. I don't want to be in that space. I want to attract what we've been able to attract, which he has an amazing surgery. He's had a better than ever outcome. He's already off of his crutches. He didn't hardly need pain medication at all. And he's happy.
And that's exactly what you want, right? That's mm-hmm. exactly it. And sitting in the worry wasn't going to change anything, essentially. So in the book, you actually have very specific regimens that you go through for things that people probably, you know, or if they weren't super familiar with tapping, might not think about, right? You have procrastination, you have money blocks, you have slowing down, things that a lot of us as moms, as business owners,
high achievers.
Right? Yeah. Yes. All of those things. So tell me a little bit more about how this works. Cause you're saying that the energy, the emotions, the feelings, all of that wants to come up, right? And then get out. And so is this true mm-hmm. even in these sort of beliefs, the procrastination, the belief of slowing down or working to slow down, the money blocks, all of these things?
Yeah, absolutely. The acknowledgement means so much to our brains and our bodies. And when we tap, we get to acknowledge and then it starts to move. It's like, mm-hmm. You see me. Like we can't deny these parts of ourselves, you know? And it's kind of like, you know, shadow and light. You can't have one without the other. We're always going to have this duality, this contrast, you know, these things to compare within ourselves. But they all have a good thing to bring to us too. You know, so as we do these different exercises, you know, when we're working on procrastination, sometimes I find the best thing to do is just let it go. You know, and I talk about this in the book, how I tried to write this darn book a couple of times on my own, like before I actually got some accountability and some help and some people on board with the, you know, all the processes and especially the techie stuff. I didn't want to touch that with a 10-foot pole, but, you know, I just wanted to write the book and let everybody else do the other things, editing, formatting, publishing. No. And before I had all that help and that accountability and deadlines that were not just backed up by myself, but other people, you know, it was really like, it was very scattered. And I got to the point where I was like, gosh, I don't even know, what am I even writing this book for? Like, it felt like a struggle. And I've come to learn that when things don't feel like they're flowing and they feel like it's like pushing against and it's struggle and it's strife, it's just not the right time to do it. But it still felt like, gosh, I really want to do this thing. And it was hard. So I sat down and I did some tapping with myself. And, you know, literally you have to kind of like let that like little inner like rebel child inside of you out when you do this. And I'm like tapping like, you can't make me. I'm not going to do it. I don't even want to do it. Like this,
I don't want to write this dumb book.
Stupid book. Like, I don't need to do this. And just like being totally immature and whatever else, and just letting it out. But I tell you what, once I like released it and I detached myself from the outcome, it was so easy to spend like the year after that, like doing things like this, like podcasts where I was like really dialing in on like, what do people need from me? What do they want from me? What do I want to offer? How can I best serve? And that really started coming together into, this is the book. This is the message. This, like, because my why and my purpose was not obviously clear enough at the time that I was trying to do it on my own. So once we got clear on that, it all started to come together. Mm. And, you know, and I felt really good about the way it came together. And another thing I talk about a lot in the book is pleasure. Like, you know, I think pleasure belongs in every part of our life. I think we're too quick to be like, pleasure is somehow only like sex and physical. And it's so much more than that for us. You know, I really like to think about pleasure with everything I do, whether I'm sitting down to, you know, send messages out to prospective clients, whether I'm writing a newsletter, whether I'm working with clients, whether I'm spending time with my husband or my kids, or just out taking a walk. I'm thinking about the pleasure and the good feelings in that first. Before I do the thing, because then it brings it into whatever I'm doing it and infuses it. And I felt very strongly about that with the book writing. And there were a few times when the book writing got a little tense and terse, whether it was with deadlines and, you know, publishing or other things. And I was just like, I got to step back. I don't care if it means we don't publish for a month. This isn't the right vibe right now. And this book needs to be created in this vibe only. Yeah. So I was very adamant about that.
Oh, I love that. I could see that, right? I certainly writing my book felt those times where it felt like none of the chapters would come together. So I'd be like, well, let's just write a different chapter, right? And I go to that one and that one didn't feel like it was coming together. And I did just have to take a step back and say, okay, it's not a writing day today because like, I can't, you know, if I can't get any of it to flow, then something's just not right here. And either it's maybe I need to change something, but I've got to, in order to know that, I've got to take that step back and I've got to not be just pushing and pushing and pushing.
Yeah, absolutely. And then once you kind of do take that step back and you release yourself from it, the perspective changes and everything gets a lot easier. And if I had never written the book, I would have been okay with that too. But things fell in place a lot easier after I, you know, had a little tapping temper tantrum and let it go.
I think I need to have some tapping temper tantrums.
We
I like
all
it.
Do, like on the daily. And I think that should be made normal.
Yes, we just 1 second. I'm just gonna go step over here for a second. I'm gonna go have a tapping.
That's how it looked in the beginning when I first started implementing this, because at first I really wanted to work on like how I was showing up as a mom, how I was showing up in my own household, because I would have temper tantrums and they weren't pretty and I was not always as nice or as calm as I wanted to be. And I still have times like that. I'm not saying that I've cured myself. So it would be one of those things where I would catch myself and I would have to almost excuse myself. And then I was like, why am I excusing myself? I'll just tap in front of my kids and then they can see how this works, you know, and we'll normalize that we regulate our nervous systems in this house and that's like good for all of us. And it's been this beautiful like ripple effect, especially with my younger kids, that they turn to it you know, or they ask me, like when they're having, my 10-year-old came to me the other week, he's like, "I'm biting my fingernails, mom. Will you help me tap on it?" You know, and I was like, "Sure," you know, because I know that it's, you know, it's anxiety underneath of that. It's something that he's, you know, concerned about or whatever. So we worked through it, and it's already getting better, and his consciousness around when he's doing it is more raised. And we have more work to do. Like if he were a client of mine, we would have gone a little deeper than I went with him.
Sure.
But you know, we work on that. My youngest will come to me when he has a nightmare or whatever and be like, "Can we tap on that?" And it's just like it helps so much just to say the things that he saw in his head when he was dreaming while regulating his nervous system. And he's like, "Oh, I feel so much better." You know, and I'll see him like with the releases, the nervous system releases, like yawns, things like that, or sometimes like burps, even yawns, that kind of stuff is all like releasing energy that is blocked. So, you know, I'll see those visible signs, and then he's like, "Oh, I'm ready to go back to my own bed."
Yeah, you're like, okay, magic. It's like magic.
It
I
really
love it.
is.
It is. Teresa, tell me who your book helps most or who you really just are speaking to with your book.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I wrote it intended for people who want to make peace with their past, people who want to release future worry, anxiety, and be able to like really fully live in the power and the pleasure of their present moments. You know, it's really about helping to set people free through these different subconscious secrets and being able to cultivate the life that we're really dreaming about, to realize we're capable of it, to realize that we're enough, that we already have everything in us that's necessary to fulfill that. And, you know, really specifically, I'm speaking to women like me, entrepreneurial ADHD moms of the world.
Love it. I love it. And you guys are going to love the book. So I will put, of course, all the links in the show notes to grab it. But before we wrap up, I would love to ask you some questions we love to ask all of our guests. And the
Sure.
first is, when do you feel most like a supermom?
Oh my gosh. When my kids are happy, when I feel like I understand them, when I feel like things are in harmony, there's this good balance between, you know, work and home and kids and marriage, and there's just clarity around things. When I feel like my family gets that too, when I don't feel like, you know, when there's not that feeling of like guilt, you know, like we've talked about before, and when I know that I've got that balance with my family time, you know. One thing that happened just this week really made me feel like a super mom. My youngest was talking to me, and we were talking whenever I, you know, enroll a new client or somebody new joins my community, I always kind of celebrate that with my family. And so I was talking about a new one-on-one client that came on with me, and my son said to me, he goes, you know, wow, you know, I'm sure there's a lot of people out there that would really like to be your client. You know, I'm so glad you have this tapping thing, and it really, really helps people, mom. And I had to like wipe tears away from my eyes. It was like, I mean, he's seven, you know? And for me, it was like a seven-year-old seeing the value in my medicine, in my modalities, and seeing how it can change lives because he's experienced change himself, and then seeing in an instance, what I struggled to see in myself for so long, which is that I really can be a catalyst for change, and that so many people do want this change in their lives. And then, like, the overarching layer of him seeing this legacy being built, like, right in front of his eyes, and like him really seeing it and getting it. That was probably like my favorite supermom moment recently.
How could you not feel like a super mom after that, right? So good. So good. Teresa, what is one small step busy moms could do if they would like to just get started?
Yeah, I mean, I think really the best thing that people can do is to work on heightening awareness. You know, tapping and hypnotherapy are great ways to do that. I have tons of resources in my community that you can grab, but working on your awareness, getting more in connection with your intuition and your heart so that you can lead more from that space throughout your day instead of your head, and really feeling your feelings throughout the day. Our, you know, like I said, our feelings, especially those negative ones, have a way of getting stuck because so many of us are stuffing them, pushing them down, and they want to move. So just acknowledging our feelings and allowing them to have space and time in our day will totally change not only the way that you feel, but the way you show up in your entire life.
Love it. Teresa, where do we find you online?
Best place is probably my website, teresalearlevine.com, and honestly, if you type my name in for socials, that's my same handle on Instagram or wherever else you want to find me. And from my website, you can join my community, you can learn about my book, you can learn about my programs, everything's right there. So that's probably the best place to pop in. And of course, I still have a great resource that we created together. If people go to theprivatesessions.com, they can get that tapping session that we did on that last episode where we did mom guilt and have access to over 65 other tapping sessions on an array of topics. So that you can really start doing this hands-on. It's one thing to talk about it. It's one thing to think we understand it. It's another thing to do it and to really start integrating and implementing.
Yeah, and it's wild. You're gonna love that. So, this is so good. I am so glad you came back on the show. Thank you for
I'm
being
so
here.
glad you were willing to have me back. I appreciate that. Thank you, Lori.
Thanks for listening to the Secrets of Supermom show. It doesn't have to end here. Head over to secretsofsupermom.com and take the quiz to find out your personalized supermom superpower. Or if you want to hang out in the next best thing to real life, join me at Secrets of Supermom on Facebook or Instagram. Big hug, y'all.